This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, Clemson and NC State in Raleigh. You haven't noticed that the Wolfpack and the Tigers has kind of been a thing. There was a Thursday night game 100 years ago on ESPN where NC State went to Clemson and blasted them. In fact,
Philip Rivers.
In fact, the Wolfpack scored on an onside kick.
Yep.
The ball bounced high. They caught it in full stride, went to the end zone. Now, while there have been those moments, there's also been heartbreak for NC State. Yeah, I'm talking about Brian Underwood being ruled out of bounds in front of the NC State bench on that throw. I think that was a Thursday night game, too, as I recall. Well, Saturday afternoon, 3:30 at Carter-Finley Stadium, these old two teams that used to play in something called the Textile Bowl, remember that back in the day? Meet again. And are the Tigers as vulnerable now, Mark, as they've been in a long time?
Yes. And when you can't score, you're vulnerable. I don't care how good the defense is. At some point in time, you got to be able to score and put points on the board. And Clemson's going to have to figure that out ASAP. And when they are so used to just putting a 40 spot on you and all of a sudden going, oh, man, we're playing uphill, and you got the aura of the Tigers and all that stuff, it becomes overwhelming. That's
right.
Why Clemson's totally dominated the ACC, you know, winning the last six ACC championships, going to six straight college football playoffs, being in four national championship games, winning two. Hey, they're one of those dudes,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you can't score, all of a sudden, hey, you know what? There's a chance that we don't get blown out. Okay,
let's
go play. Now, Clemson's D is maybe as good as it's been in this crazy run of 6 or 7 years. So the defense is playing lights out. But the Tiger offense has got issues, and they've got to figure this thing out. They've got dudes. Can they figure out the puzzle now between now and Saturday when they go to Carter-Finley?
All right. We're coming up. We're inside of about, 20 days or so of Clemson's last loss to a full-time ACC member. 4 years ago would be mid-October when they lost on a Friday night at the Dome to Syracuse. Remember, they did lose to Notre Dame last year in overtime on November the 7th. But in terms of road woes, it's been a while. ACC woes, it's been a while. But here are the Tigers' FPI chances against ACC teams remaining in their schedule. And you're going to notice right off the top that old FPI, the boys down the hall from the Lumberjacks, think that Clemson's a 68% chance to win on Saturday afternoon in Raleigh. And that is a low number given their recent history.
That would be correct. And I would tell you, of the teams on this list right here, I do think Saturday is the dangerous game for the Tigers. I do. I think the FPI, as much as I hate to agree with FPI, I tend to agree with this one. And I do think the road trip to Pitt, given how wildly inconsistent Pittsburgh can be, they can score. And I said this yesterday, Wes. I know you weren't here, but I said to Eric McLean, right now, today, this second, based on the body of work of 3 weeks.
Right.
Can Clemson win a shootout? Now, the defense has been sensational.
Yeah, right? As expected.
Maybe even better than expected.
Yeah, true. They've no touchdowns through three games.
They've given up 12 points, the defense. Now, the Tigers have given up 21 total, but none of those are from a pick six offense issue and the crazy safety on the quarterback sneak thing the other day. That's 9 points. So the defense has given up 12 points in three games. They are filthy. They're deep. They're big. They're fast. They're well-coached. They're nasty. And you know what? They will keep the Tigers in the game while the offense tries to figure it out. The question is, can Clemson figure out their offensive woes? Now, we know about the quarterback. You know about Will Shipley. You know about Pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know about all Ross, all those guys on the perimeter. But I gave you the numbers earlier. Scoring offense, 105 out of 130 teams.
Right.
Passing yards per completion. To me, that's the number, right? Because you think of Clemson with great wide receivers going deep, man,
right.
Matchup issues all over the place. Clemson is 120 out of 130 teams in passing yards per completion. It's like, what's going on here? I mean, what are we doing? And we know what the other thing was? We talked about how this year we thought that maybe they'd throw their tight ends more than ever before. It's like everything's just kind of disappeared. It's almost as if, what is the concept behind what Clemson's trying to accomplish offensively.
Yeah.
And if teams are taking that away, well, then you should be able to line up and run. They haven't been able to do that either.
Well, and the big plays are gone.
Gone.
The big plays are gone. Last in the ACC in plays of 10 yards or more, 32, 20 yards or more, they've only had 8. The vertical game is non-existent in terms of the pass, and really the explosive plays, as you can see, have been minimized as well. Matt Bockhorst, veteran offensive lineman, center guard, combination guy for Clemson over the years. He's pretty pointed, pretty fiery in his comments about why the Tiger offense is not living up to its standards.
We're winning, yes, but we're cutting it close. And there's a standard, like I said, that has been set and needs to be met. So when we come and talk about execution, football, it's a game of execution. The scheme can only take you so far. And so we need to finish drives. We need to get all on the same page, get all the young guys on the same page, make sure the receivers are getting the signals, everything, all the little details it takes to be successful as an offense. That's what we need to improve.
Hmm. Okay.
You can talk it. It's time to walk it, right? I think if you're Clemson, this is the game, I think. I really believe this is the one that you have to look at from the Atlantic race, because I think NC State has had many chances in the past to beat Clemson in this kind of situation and haven't gotten the job done, but that crowd's going to be great. Carter Finley's always a tough place to play when everybody's stirred up, and they will be Saturday afternoon. Clemson comes in there with an offensive question mark. NC State's defense has been consistently good all season long, despite a couple injuries. The Pack can score, right? Can score.
Yeah.
So, this is a fascinating matchup. And so, Tigers, guess what? Like I said, you got all week to figure out the offensive deal. But both defenses on the field Saturday will be very good.
My opinion, of the ACC defenses that Clemson is going to see, this is the best one.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the best one.
Yep.
I mean, now, if your offense can get on track, this be a heck of an effort to do it against this crowd. Now, that's without Wilson at the linebacking spot and Fagan in the secondary for NC State. But they still got some guys up front. They're going to challenge Clemson. They'll do what it takes. But can NC State find the blueprint that works? Really interesting question here becomes now, who can you go back and look at to say, okay, what are you going to do? Remember now, I'm going to cite a couple losses here. One, Syracuse, Kelly Bryant went down with the injury. Zarek Cooper came in that night at the Dome. Everything kind of stymied after that from an offensive perspective. Clemson's defense far better than that defense was that night. Wouldn't you say? The defense today better than the one that lost to Syracuse?
This defense has the potential
right.
of being one of the best that Dabo's ever had.
Okay, let's go back to then the Pitt loss. Remember when Chris Blewett kicked the field goal to win it for Pittsburgh? What was the scenario there? Clemson was their own worst enemy offensively that day. Turnovers, missed on the fourth and short.
Shovel pass, have yet to figure it out.
Okay, good point. By the way,
that was a high-scoring game, by the way.
Figured it out on Saturday.
And by the way, that's, I think, the last time they've lost a home game, it seems like, in about 100 years.
Chris Blewett, right. Yeah. Correct. So, is there a blueprint out there for NC State to work with? Well, here's the one thing you like about NC State. Pretty balanced on offense. They're not going to be a one-way go. You got pretty good running backs, Person, Bam Knight, Jordan Houston. You got capable receivers. You got an efficient quarterback. But here's the thing that gives you pause for NC State. It's still about slowing down the offense and making sure your defense matches the other guy in the orange helmet's defense, Patrick.
Well, Devin Leary's going to have to play well to pull the upset off.
No question.
If he's just okay, I don't know if he can do that, because Clemson's defense just does
penalties
not,
and turnovers big.
You know, it always is. But, yeah, I mean, but the quarterback play, to me, in this game will be the key, right? I mean, does DJ find it? I mean, you know, everybody's it's like, well, we're a play away. Well, play away from what? I mean, I just haven't seen it. From a consistent standpoint, I just haven't seen Clemson go downfield. I mean, you know, there doesn't – I mean, you know what was weird? Was Saturday watching games. That the Clemson game lasted, I think, 8 hours. Between the delay.
Yeah, little weather delay.
The officials under the hood for the 43rd time. Guys faking injuries. I mean, that game lasted forever, right?
Yeah.
So you had nothing going on offensively in the Clemson-Georgia Tech game, right?
Right.
It was just kind of a battle royal. You punt, I punt, nobody score. And then it kind of led right in to North Carolina, Virginia, which was just the exact opposite. Athletes in space, going downfield, explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Anybody could score at any moment. It was the polar opposite. You're almost thinking, is this the same league?
Right.
Right? I mean, it was hard to believe. I'm watching Clemson, Georgia Tech, and hey, can somebody score? And North Carolina, Virginia, which was, hey, first of 45 wins. So Clemson's got to figure that part out. How do you get great athletes back in space, make plays? Can the offensive line block anybody? I don't know. Will Shipley, you know, I said the other day, I'm not a coach, but, you know, Will Routt, you think that'd be a problem for somebody? Right. I would think so. And I don't know nothing about football. So I'm curious to see what Clemson does trying to figure it out, and I'm really interested to see how NC State handles the hype.
Mm-hmm.
They did not handle the hype at Mississippi State. There was a lot put in that game, and they laid an egg. Like I said, that was an egg salad sandwich down there. So they've kind of gotten that stinker out of the way. So in some respects, hey, State, here's the deal. Your house, place is going to be rocking. Can you play calm, cool, and collected? Like, hey, guess what? We can play with these guys. You know what? They got to get over that mental hurdle, too. It's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to walk it. Clemson has owned this series. Owned it. So
the other thing,
it's going to be a great game.
It will be a very good game. I think it'll be ugly at times.
It'll be just chippy.
Style of play.
No, oh, yeah. There'll be some edginess in this game.
Yeah. We saw some of that Saturday night. A little edginess Saturday night in Chapel Hill with Virginia, Carolina.
This one, though, you know, Dave Dorn has been saying, hey, one of these days I'm going to get old Dabo Swinney and beat him and all that good stuff. And he's been close. He's been close.
Yeah.
But he's also had some woodshed jobs. Yeah. So, you know, it's who knows how this plays out. But like I said, we talk about coastal chaos all the time. For that to take place in the Atlantic, it takes one game.
And this is it?
And it's this game. It's not BC at Clemson. It's right. not Pitt Clemson. It's NC State Clemson.
There you go.
Is the potential chaos in the Atlantic. And I think if Clemson wins this game,
yeah,
I think everybody's, you know, they will eventually solve the offensive woes at some point in time. The question is, for me, can they solve it this week?
By the way, still to come, conference cuts top of the hour. But on the other side, our conference cuts bottom of the hour. Roddy Jones, top of the hour, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, don't forget that.
On the other side, though, true or false?
Oh, we're back to that again.
Yeah, we've scrapped, I think, Bark or Bite.
I hope
out of confusion.
I think fans have enjoyed Bark and Bite getting tossed.
I think some have. Sit tight. When we come back, true or false with Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. There's our man running the show. Fresh off another Emmy Award winner, Chester, in the Roger Goodell chair.
Is he holding out on contract, by the way? Is that right?
No, he's good.
Okay. He's good.
As long as there's Bojangles biscuits every Friday at 10:05 with no butter on it, he's good.
He's good.
It's part of his contract. You know, some stars want like green M&Ms or this.
Yeah.
Chester and Fuller want
his rider and his contract's not that big.
Okay. It's the deal is he gets Bojangles biscuits with no butter. No, right. Those butter's bad for dogs.
That's it.
The biscuits are outstanding.
Yeah. All right, off to Bristol we go, kids. Headquarters of the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network. And live, we welcome one half of the Lumberjacks. Twice now, the voice of victory.
Voice of multiple victories.
Voice of multiple victories. There he is, kids. Josh Macri. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Good. All good.
Good.
How you doing, Pac?
Now that Miss Jean sent me my last patch of lemon squares, I'm good for now.
Sorry, Josh. I was trying to get you and Drew taken care of, but...
All good. All good. I get it. Yeah. Know how it is. Exactly. How about a little true or false today? Because like you said...
True.
Yeah. Bark or Bite is a little bit too complex for this crew. Yeah. So I'll stick with true or false.
That would be me and the Pac-Man.
I even had people sitting there.
Yeah, we did.
I'm glad you guys got rid of Bark and Bite. We couldn't figure it out either.
So... Wasn't just us, Josh. It was you and Brooks too smart.
Yeah.
Well, we're a show of the people, so if the people prefer true or false, we'll do true or false. We are people. First one here, Brennan Armstrong. True or false? He has set the world on fire. Of course, that is true. But will he continue to do so to the point where he will break the single-season passing yardage record currently held by Deshaun Watson 4,593 yards. He's on pace to do it.
Whoa.
I'm looking at your numbers here. All right. 4,600. Who they got left on the schedule?
Divided by 9.
To the ninth power.
366 a game. To get there. To break it. 366 a game.
You know, I'm going to say false.
I'm going to go false, too, because, well, he's gonna see some people that can defend.
Yeah, I just think that at some point in time, you don't have the 554-yard dink, right? You got the 250.
Well, certainly offsets what you do get, right?
Yeah. I think there's going to be some 250s in there, and you run the football, you get some wins, you get out of here. You don't have to throw it from when you're behind by 20 like they were Saturday night.
So Real quick check
I'm
going
to go false on
that. Wake.
Fist fight. That's a really good game Friday night.
At Miami.
They don't tackle.
At Louisville.
Put some numbers there, too.
Duke at home.
We'll put some numbers there.
Georgia Tech at home.
But you know, when you get leads, Wes, you don't need to throw it 800
times. By the way, sneaky Virginia at BYU late October.
And we talked to Bronco about that game.
Notre Dame at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go false.
Okay, we'll go false.
False.
At he's Pitt been great. And Commonwealth Cup.
Been great.
By the way. Yeah, oh, man. Holy cow, has he been good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first half the other night, kid you not, first half the other night I was listening to the broadcast. I was back and forth on the Sirius XM with Dave Kane and with Jones Angel. It sounded like the Barnstormers from Iowa and the Arizona Rattlers in the old Kurt Warner arena football days.
Now, if you love offensive football, it was fun to watch. Both those quarterbacks were sensational.
All right, Josh, sorry. We're off on a tangent.
Now, if you like running the football, you've enjoyed watching Sean Tucker. I know I have. He's currently second in the ACC in rushing yardage, behind only Mateo Durant, but he's averaging over a yard per carry more than Durant has so far this season. That is true. True or false, though, Sean Tucker will be Syracuse's first single-season ACC rushing champion since Dirt.
I'm going to go false.
He's 31 yards behind.
I'm going to go false.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why. Because I think Syracuse is going to be behind.
Sneaky Ty Chandler over 300 yards after the other night.
Yeah, but he got most of those against Virginia. Till then.
Wow.
I'm going to go false only because I think Syracuse will be behind and will throw the football. And I think he can throw it to 34.
So 21's going to be. Now, 21 caught a touchdown pass the other day for Duke. But Mateo Durant's going to get in the mix. And I'm not going to rule out Bam Knight having a big day somewhere along the way through here, too.
Yeah.
Who's also right in the neighborhood.
Through 3 weeks, I told you he was one of my – I think he's the most underrated player in the league.
Right.
That was my opinion. But I'm going to go false. It'd be a cool story, be a great sidebar story, but I'm going to go false.
Yeah, I'm going to go false only because I think Durant's going to end up with more touches in the run game. And I'm not ruling out Bam Knight either. So,
all right, we'll see where it goes.
False. Pair of falses there.
Do we want to mark the tape on that one for down the road? Huh?
Theoretically, Josh, we could have marked the first two questions.
Well, we could have, but that
there are going to be definitive answers to both.
But that one is a personal one for you, voice of multiple victories. And the fact that you incorporated a since Dirt into it makes it even better.
Well, it would be since Dirt.
Do you want to mark that or not?
Yeah, let's
mark that.
Mark
one.
That tape.
Mark the tape.
I mean, the asterisk here is that since Dirt only encapsulates about 7 years since Syracuse joined the league.
Eight.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wes just showed me up on a math question. I like it.
A Syracuse math question.
I know, exactly.
Mark that tape.
That the tape has been marked. From good offense to bad offense, Clemson last in the league, as we've established, in total yardage. But true or false, they will rebound to the point where they'll finish the season in the top half of the conference in total yardage.
False. False.
I'm just not buying it right now. I'm just having a hard time seeing where they're going.
I'm not
going
to have to, though. You can win the game if you're packing the heat they are on defense. But top half, no. Not from 14 to 6 or 14 to 7. No. You can mark that tape, too, just to keep showing.
You were on such a math run.
And then I stumbled right into it. No, false. Look, can they get to 8, 9? Maybe. I mean, just remember this. Where they are as a team in so many of these categories, we just rolled it off in terms of explosive plays. I mean, you start looking at these offensive numbers, it's kind of scary where they are. I mean, their pass offense is 188.7 ahead of Virginia Tech and Florida State, which is also weird. Behind Georgia Tech by a ton of yards. Yards per rush, they're 11th.
Yeah, listen, offensively, they've been lousy. I mean, it's the only way to describe it. I know Georgia's on that list, and they're a great defensive
team.
They're
15 yards behind Virginia Tech right now,
yeah.
And Virginia Tech is only one slot ahead,
right.
13.
Right.
I mean, Virginia, Carolina, Duke's going to keep putting up numbers. Pitt's at 500 yards a game. Of course, they're in a shootout every week.
Yeah, they're going to toss it every week.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're getting with a Pitt game.
And that goes to Roddy's stuff at 9 o'clock about teams that aren't running the ball even though you think they are. Because there's some really – you start looking at some of these run numbers. I mean, Boston College is averaging 205 a game. It's really weird. There's some weird numbers. But again – goes back to Dave Clawson. I can't tell you how many times over the weekend I kept thinking about Dave Clawson.
He's right.
Telling us how great a year and how unbelievably weird this year was going to be. He said it might be the most competitive college football season ever, right?
Yep.
He's right.
So far, he's right. There's no question after 3 weeks.
All right. Sorry, Josh. We're off on another tangent.
What else we got?
Yeah, stop apologizing. You guys are the stars of this show. But, Wes, I will say when it comes to math, sometimes the wide-open catch is the hardest one to make. North Carolina scored on all
laugh.
Five.
Go ahead. That's funny. That was funny.
Listen,
that was funny.
You know,
it was good, Josh.
We went from 14 to the top half of 6. I mean, that's what I learned in that last.
My
six.
Math is different. Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
How's this for math, though? North Carolina scored on all 5 of its second half possessions against Virginia. That is true, but true or false, Carolina will score a touchdown in at least half of its total drives against Georgia Tech on Saturday. Keep in mind, this is the same Georgia Tech off defense that smothered Clemson.
False.
They won't score on half the drives?
That's the question, right?
And you're saying false.
I said false.
How many possessions are we talking about?
And it could be 2, but if they score 1 touchdown, then the answer is true.
Well, but I'm trying to think total possessions. Are there going to be 14 in this game?
Well, see, that was what Clemson talked about afterwards. Dabo said, hey, we only had 8 possessions.
That's exactly
what they played keep away from us.
That's the thing Georgia Tech can do, and they're going to do it again. I'm going to say false because I think it's 8 possessions. I think Georgia Tech has every intention of doing offensively what it did the other day with Clemson against Carolina. It's the same methodology of keeping that guy sitting over there on the sidelines.
If you can.
If you can.
Right.
Right.
Big word is if.
Now we're leaving a question on the board. We talk too much. He had another one here. It's really good, too.
Well, let's do it.
I know. He's done, though. He says he's done. We got to stay on time. Conference cuts.
Oh, wait a minute.
We can
go one more. What was the last one, Josh, real quick?
You want to know what it was? You want me to burn it?
No.
Yeah.
What
burn
is
it? Let's go. Let's burn it. It's a good one.
There are 2 ACC teams that are currently undefeated, Wake Forest and BC. True or false, the Deacons will be the final undefeated team left.
False.
Ooh.
False. Sorry, Swiss. Hey, I got you up to 4 in accounting. I'm going to go false.
You don't like the Deacs Friday night at Charlottesville.
I think Virginia's good at home, man. And they're PO'd because they're tired of losing Wake last year. Coming off a lousy defense.
So once Wake loses, technically BC's the last undefeated team.
That would be correct.
Because
that would
be true. Because of the Friday night game.
That's why I said false.
Oh, I'm going to go true.
Oh, so you like the Deeks Friday night.
Numbers the other day were pretty good. Now, granted, Florida State, Norfolk State, Old Dominion are the three wins. Friday night's their best test to date.
First road trip.
Yeah, no question.
And they're playing a team coming off a smoke, and they're good at home.
Good point.
I like the Hoos Friday night.
Good job, Josh. Sit tight when we come back. Conference cuts coming up next here on ACC Network. Pat Narduzzi? Yeah, you bet. Manny Diaz from the Zoom. That's a good-looking hoodie.
I like that.
Mike Norvell. Matt Bockhorst is back for more. All that coming up on Packer and Durham. Good morning.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Don't forget, our coverage of week four in the ACC starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. It all happens in the huddle, presented by Marathon. Jordan Cornette with Coach EJ and Mac starts at 10 a.m. on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. There you have it.
That one app, one tap thing, that's the way to go.
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, I used it Saturday.
I know. One app.
Just like that. Got to the game, hit the watch, bang, there it was.
Marketing guy made $1 million to come up with that. One app, one tap.
You know. You ought to know.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
All right, let's go to conference cuts.
Do it. I like this.
All right, conference cuts. Here we go. First stop, the state capital of Florida. Mike Norvell at the podium. Reiterated, he has not lost faith in his team despite an 0-3 start.
I've got confidence in where this team's going. I've got confidence in, and I'm not talking about in years from now. I'm talking about right now. And I'm talking about like this opportunity and this week. We're going to continue to work. We're going to continue to develop. We're going to continue to build upon the positives. We're going to continue to learn from the experiences of the negative. And when you go out there on the practice field, when you go into the meeting rooms and you're willing to invest, and then you've got a chance to get it corrected. And we're going to get it corrected.
You better get it corrected. I mean, that's the point. 0-3. You got Florida State fans wearing bags on your heads, which I said yesterday. You can cut that nonsense out.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, you gotta support these guys. I mean, this is a tough time right now for Florida State. You've been through a lousy stretch of football. I get it. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. This is the time where you really need to band together and say, hey, you know what? We're in a bad spot. We need to figure this thing out. This team gave you a sign of life against Notre Dame where you played lights out, great comeback. You know what? You got players. And do you need more? Yeah, but that comes in recruiting, and that takes time.
And apparently doing a good job there.
I mean, if you're in the recruiting rankings, I mean, but, you know, you got to develop them just like Coach talked about. But this is a time for Florida State as a whole, not to point fingers. And I'm talking about whether you're talking about coaches, players, fans, administrators, anybody associated with the institution. This is a time when everybody who loves Florida State needs to come together and say, guess what? Yeah, is it good? No, it's not good right now, but let's figure this thing out as opposed to going, oh, we need to come up with a new coach, or hey, we don't have this, or why? The refs did. Forget all that nonsense. That doesn't help you. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help you. So you better figure out a way to bond together, and that coaching staff's got a lot of work to do, and those players have to buy into the fact that, guess what? We're better than 0-3. That's not who we are. So, big test this week, Louisville. It's a winnable game.
Yep.
And it doesn't take but one W to all of a sudden say, guess what? That's why we put in the work. But it starts Saturday for the Noles.
Yeah, if you like ACC football, you're going to need a couple screens about 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to need a couple screens there for Clemson, NC State, and Louisville at Florida State. Let's go to South Florida. Miami welcomes the Blue Devils of Central Connecticut State to the Hard Rock on Saturday.
Plenty of good seats still available.
And Manny Diaz is already talking about his team's physicality after missing 15 tackles by his count against Michigan State on Saturday.
Our physicality can't be in question. It just can't. And majority of our issues in terms of tackling, for example, was stopping feet on contact against a runner that was not stopping his feet on contact. And it really doesn't matter who you play. I mean, obviously, their back is a hell of a player, but he had his cleats screwed in the ground and was turning his legs, and And too often we were running to contact and not through contact. And there was a lot of the similarities in terms of blocking, you know, running to contact instead of running through contact. We have to be a team that runs through contact. Doesn't matter who plays. I don't care who does it. Doesn't matter. I would say I can change a coverage based off DBs that are in there, but we got to find four guys that will set edges and get guys on the ground. And similar to us, you know, offensively, up front, offensively, we've got to find guys that seek out contact.
Wes, was Coach reading off my script? I mean, I talked about that last week going into the game.
Right.
Right? That yards after contact, Miami was dead last going into the game against Sparty. If you watch that game, you know why they were dead last. They didn't do anything Saturday to eliminate that problem. It only made it worse.
Right.
And, you know, it's a hot day. It's a noon kickoff. You got a Big Ten team coming to your house. Tight game. And you got pushed around in the fourth quarter. You got outscored, what, 21-3? I mean, Manny Diaz was spot on with his assessment. Now, the question is, all right, somebody going to man up and do anything about it? I mean, the guy with the ball has got to come to the ground. Somebody's got to put a hat on a hat and put somebody down. They got to get more physical because they got pushed around Saturday.
Yeah. Next stop, Pittsburgh. Pat Narduzzi was not pleased with the defense in a big old shootout against the Broncos of Western Michigan on Saturday at Heinz Field. And he said it could be some time maybe for some unusual changes.
I trust our defensive staff, I really trust our defensive staff, but there's times where I just got to, you know, I'm trying to make decisions on offense and, you know, things were going fast, and we were scoring in one place, three plays and out, and, you know, punt alert, you know, get ready for the next series, and to just hang on the headphones on the defense the whole time, it's tough. But I'm going to have to get over there a little bit more just to see what's going on. And we didn't make in-game adjustments like I'd like to and I'm used to. And as I watched the video, you know, I told our defense staff, as I watched the video, you know, from the video session, you know, as I watched on Saturday night and Sunday morning, I'm looking at it going, you know, if I'd have saw that from the box, I know what I'm doing. And we didn't do that. And I got to put it on me because ultimately I got to get it done somehow, some way. Shoot, over the weekend, I thought about might be the head coach sitting up at the damn box this week. Just coach from the box, Larry.
I don't want Pat in the box. I don't.
Dr. Victory.
I don't, no.
Got to get Dr. Victory on the horn.
No, I love watching Pitt football because Pat is so, his expressions on game day are awesome. But, you know, I'll go back to our interview with Pat for the season, and we talked about their offense, Wes.
Right.
9 of 10 wide receivers back. Kenny Pickett's back. Tight end's going to be really good. Solid offensive line that Pitt's going to be able to score. And I remember asking Pat, you know, this might be the first time in a long time your defense needs to catch up to your offense. Because offensively, you're going to score 70 points. And we're so used to a Pat Narduzzi team being so good on the defensive side.
Right.
That really defense dictates the way they play. This year, we're going to be complete opposite. Now, I did not expect him to lose coming off the Tennessee
to Western Michigan.
To Western Michigan at home. That was a, so I like to say, that egg salad sandwich. It was in Pittsburgh this weekend. That's a bad loss. I don't care what anybody says about the Mac or anybody else. I expected Bennett more from Pitt on that deal. But, you know, we did think, though, that Pitt games this year were going to be a bit different. They're going to be high scoring, and the defense would have to catch up. I just did not expect it to be Western Michigan. So there you go.
Daryl Mudra. Does that name ring a bell?
It really doesn't.
Coached at Florida State, 1974 to 1975. He was the last coach before Bobby Bowden.
Oh, that's right.
He coached from the press box. Dr. Victory, by the way. Daryl Mudra.
Now, that's not to be confused with the voice of multiple victories.
No, the voice of multiple victories, Josh Macri.
How many did that guy win at Florida State?
Not enough.
Who has more wins, currently Macri or Dr. Victory?
Dr. Victory, we'll have to.
Well, look at his numbers real quick.
Okay, hang on real quick. You want me to do that?
Well, right, I want to see you with the math pressure here because we
here
got
it is.
One more.
I got it right here. I'll figure it out. Daryl Mudra at Florida State won four games. Four up, 18 down from the press box.
Four up, 18, huh? Yeah. So, all right, voice of victory, you got two more in you this year.
Yeah, two more in you. Pass Dr. Victory.
Dr. Victory.
There you go. You can, and then Josh will become Dr. Victor.
He could be.
Next up, let's go to Blacksburg. Virginia Tech, 0-3 inside West Virginia's 10 on Saturday. Justin Fuente, blunt when talking about it.
When you went back and watched the film with the goal line, with the three times inside the red zone, anything stand out kind of on the rewatch that you thought kind of contributed to the struggles?
Yeah, we stunk. we jumped off sides on the 3-yard line. There's two times there's a little bit of time factor in there, but it's poor. And that's poor for everybody. You know what I mean? Like that's, you don't get down there three times and come away with nothing and not reevaluate and talk about and look at all aspects of it. So, we just, from top to bottom, wasn't very good.
Can't do fun with Foo with that. I can't.
The podium?
I don't like the podium. And I told you, we need to go back to the cafeteria style. I told you that last week. But, you know, he's right. I mean, three possessions inside the 10, 5 net yards, 12 plays, no points. You lose by 6 on the road. That one stings. You're ranked 15th in the country, and next thing you know, AP folks go, oh, kick them out. See you later. No respect on that front. But, man, you got to be better. Yeah. And when he said we stunk, that was being kind. But it's a team deal. It's a team deal. So they're going to have to figure that bad boy out. They'll take care of business this week.
All right.
I'm more concerned about you after putting a Hokie 7th in the
Thanks.
County.
If you keep it up for the next 3 days, I feel real good about
where I'm going. Well, I'm going to because I'm married to a Hokie. She's upstairs. Yeah. She's not going to be happy with that ranking.
Well, she wasn't happy 2 years ago when I did it.
I know it. I guarantee you Mrs. P drinking her coffee upstairs.
Does she have any more coffee left, by the way?
She does. For you, with a number 7, probably not. Probably not.
Could use a second cup.
All right. I'll send her a text. I may have to go up the steps to get it because she's not going to look you in the eye.
Can you make it up the steps?
I can. I'm gout free this week.
Oh, that's good.
Got that going for me.
All right. All that aside,
after these lemon squares, could be a problem. Could be a problem.
After all that, kids, when we come back, we go to wide receiver U. Nice catch by Billy Kemp before the half. Oh, it's Jabarius Conley. Malachi Carter, sneaky good. Josh Downs. Salt Tar Heel faithful, we're all about that one in nomination. See who the winner is next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, show number 465. Roddy Jones is joining us coming up top of the hour.
Yeah.
And we got awards to give out because wide receiver U, we had a ton of nominees. We could have made it almost exclusively the North Carolina Virginia game, given the incredible catches and plays. And I mean, it was an unbelievable offensive explosion. But EMAC yesterday narrowed it to 4.
Oh, you let him?
I let him do it.
Well, nice.
You know, guests in the basement.
Sure,
why not? So he came up with the 4. Social media puts it out, and guess what? Fans get to vote. You guys run the show. We have nothing to say about this.
All right, here's the winner. Nearly 46% of the vote to capture it. North Carolina wide receiver Josh Downs wins wide receiver U for week 3. And I'd say so. Look at this thing. Zip. Don't wave it off, Johnson. That's a catch.
Boy, I'd like to slow-mo. I mean, it's a great catch.
All the way through, by the way. That's a Sunday catch, too, Joey Blunt.
Yeah. There were so many good plays in this game.
Yep.
Like I said, if you love offensive football, man, this was your game
right
here.
It's just a great catch.
How about the throw?
Oh, the throw. Well, you said it earlier. He throws best deep ball in college football.
He does. He throws the best deep ball in college football.
Yep.
You know, Brennan Armstrong. Hey,
what is it? Clint Gwaltney, the former Tar Heel place kicker. With the touchdown call there in the end zone.
And old Brennan Armstrong throws a sweet pass, too, now.
Yeah.
Man, he threw some dimes Saturday night.
Hey, can we replay that one more time? Watch the guy back line of the end zone, right corner, Clint Gwaltney. Watch this. White shirt, khaki pants, right there. See him? right there, Downs hits. We'll go to the overhead. You'll see Clint throw the arms up. He called it. They reviewed this, of course, I'm guessing, right?
No.
No? Oh, good. Look, there's no. Clint. Touchdown. Two arms in the air. Way to go, Clint. No. Well done.
They did not. But a targeting call? We'll spend 20 minutes on that.
By the way, Malachi Carter.
And there, by the way, there were some hits in that North Carolina game.
Oh, yeah. There were some hits.
That people were still talking about.
They are still talking about them. And look, folks, we don't know. We just saw the hit like you did. Right?
I'm so mad at college football. I love the sport. It's my favorite.
Right.
But I hate the targeting rule. I've talked about this before. I don't want to go off because I'll spend, like I did yesterday on radio, I went off for about a half an hour on it. Targeting is screwing up college football. The targeting right. rule is really hurting the game.
Correct.
They need to adjust that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so many calls this weekend in big games that have nothing to do with targeting. That we throw a flag, we wait 10 minutes, we come back, sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't. And you're like, what is the rule? What is the intent of the rule? Is it to eliminate physicality in the sport?
Right.
Because you're doing it. And it's a physical sport. Always will be. Unless we become two-hand tag.
Mm-hmm.
I hate what college football is doing with the targeting rule.
Yeah.
There's a difference between somebody that wants to decapitate somebody coming over the middle or taunt them. Throw a flag. Do you want to throw them out? Throw them out mm-hmm. for that. But there's a big difference between that and somebody trying to make a football play. And I think the penalty of throwing a kid out is ridiculous. You want to throw a flag? Fine. 15 yards, first down, we're going this way. But throwing kids out for a guy trying to make a football play just stinks. The okay. rule stinks.
It's interesting. Roddy Jones has sat in the room the last couple of years, the officiating seminar, when they get to instant replay. He'll be with us in a few minutes. You may get he can take you a little bit behind the curtain, but I'll say this. And I think what you're talking about is what we talked about last fall a lot, the inconsistency of the evaluation, right?
It is from game to game, league right. to league, half to half. I watch every game Saturday. And I'm like, I sit back and go, please don't. We're going to review under review for targeting. Dude, he made a football play.
Right.
He made a tackle.
That's right.
It wasn't trying to break the guy's leg. It wasn't trying to snap his neck. He made a football play.
Right.
There's to me, it's a huge difference between that and, hey, man, I'm a defensive back. I'm tired of this West Durham catching passes. He comes over the middle. I'm taking him out.
That's totally that's a different
deal. That is targeting.
Right.
I think college football, as much as I love it, this rule is screwing up the sport.
And can it be refined to yeah, a point where
let me do it. I'll refine it. Make it real simple. Son, you need to get up, man. That's right. a catch. Let's go. First down. Here we go. Move on.
Quick Hate before it. We get here to the top, Malachi Carter, very close vote with Josh Downs.
That's a great play.
Josh Downs, 45.8%. Malachi Carter, 41.5%. And as you told me onside during the break, kick. First ever onside kick
nominee
to make wide receiver use finalist list.
It was a great catch.
Do we have the replay of that, by the way? I don't
Did
know.
Did you not
I
mean. See that?
Were you
working?
I've heard it. I have not seen it. I was driving.
It was tremendous.
I was driving, listening to Don Munson and Tim Beret with the call on the Clemson Tiger Network, by the way.
Great play.
Oh, sounded like it. Billy Kemp third. Jaquarius. All right, here's Malachi Carter. I want to see this, by the way, because I haven't seen it. There's the bounce. Whoa! Looked like Wanya Thomas was throwing the circus fake.
Joe trying to knock it out of bounds and whiffed it.
A swing and a miss for a Joe. Nice play, both Malachi.
Both feet in bounce. That's a great play.
Do you like the white stormtroopers at Clemson? You're becoming a fan, aren't you?
I like
stormtrooper
it.
Jerseys.
I liked everything Georgia Tech did Saturday. They were ready to play. They were ticked off after giving up 800
yeah,
last year.
Sure.
Chip on the shoulder. Yeah. They had a great game plan. They executed it. Clemson helped them out, and that's part of it. When you try to pull off an upset, you had the lightning delay. All of a sudden, everybody left after the lightning delay to get out of town.
90 minutes.
I mean, it was really the perfect setting for an upset. They just didn't quite figure it out.
You'll be stunned to know that on my drive from Durham back to Charlotte Saturday night, listening to the Tiger Radio Network on Sirius XM, that Bure had all the details of the Lightning delay and where it falls in Clemson football history at the ready.
He's the greatest of all time with that stuff.
That's unbelievable.
There's nothing like
all right.
Bure's unbelievable.
Sit tight. When we come back, top of the hour, power hour, we begin. Old Roddy Jones comes cranking it in here. Thursday night football for Roddy. Saturday, hangs out with me. Comes down in classification to work with me after Matt Berry on Thursday nights. Sit tight. Two O's live when we start the power hour next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.